You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy. The following podcast contains spoilers and rude words. We watch a thing.
We watch a thing. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to We Watched a Thing with Billy and Dave here on the Potty Mouth Network. This is going to be a fun one. It's going to be a difficult one because I can't even remember which one of us idiots came up with this idea. But what we're doing is our top 10 character actors. Dave, would you like to tell the people what a character actor is?
No. Look, traditionally, and this is where it got really messy. Traditionally, it's an actor who is known for playing a variety of different characters.
Yeah.
Never or certainly very rarely in the lead. And they become known as kind of that so-and-so. Yeah, they're in everything.
Yes, definitely. For me, I also took it to – I do have one or two on my list that have had maybe some semi-lead roles, but I think what sets them apart as well –
because these days – everyone kind of gets a lead eventually.
Definitely.
Even if it's in something small. It's in the old studio days. So up until maybe the 80s, for example, if you weren't really good looking,
yes,
you very rarely got a lead role. And so the people that weren't super good looking either were really good at acting and became character actors,
yes,
or they weren't good at acting enough. Yep. All good looking enough, and they went and worked at McDonald's or something.
Yeah, and there are some people who used to be known as character actors have crossed that stream. You know, I think a great example who's not on my list, Gary Oldman. Christian Bale has often been referred
for that very reason because Gary Oldman doesn't do secondary parts anymore and hasn't done for years.
That's right. But I think what sets him apart and the reason that I would allow him to still be on a list like this is when he plays a lead role, he is very much one of those actors who becomes the character. You know, like you watch him, for example, when he's playing Churchill, and it's not like Tom Cruise in a movie where you go see Tom Cruise and it's Tom Cruise, or you go see Matt Damon and Matt Damon. You know,
just being better at acting, isn't it?
It is to an extent, and I think often character actors are the ones who are better at acting.
Because one of the, and I know you're not as big a fan as I am, so I'm sure he's not going to be on your list, but someone who, by that definition, I would have considered for my list is Johnny Depp, because he's very rarely himself.
Yeah.
He's always completely different.
He's always one of the main guys. Yeah, I mean, I'm not very high on Johnny Depp, but if you did have him on your list, I probably wouldn't tell you off for it.
He came very close because at the end of the day, he's very rarely the lead these days. Jack Sparrow is not the lead. Mad Hatter's not the lead. Wonka is not the lead.
Yeah.
They're just very prominent side characters.
Yeah, I probably would have allowed that. Well, let's get into it then. I'm very curious how much crossover we'll have.
I did try to make it easier. I found a website where someone had gone, this is impossible to do. Here's some caveats. You can't have anyone who's dead. You can't have anyone who's
I fucked off all those caveats.
We got rid of all of those and then it became super fucking hard.
Yeah.
And can go first.
Okay. All right. Well, my number 10 is a guy by the name of Stephen Tobolowsky.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. Probably most known to
Ned,
most people.
Ned Ryerson.
That's right. It's Ned from
Ned,
Groundhog
Ned.
Day. That's right. It's Ned. He gets punched in the face. But also, I actually really liked the show at first. He was great in Glee. He had a fairly recurring role there. Californication.
Oh, yeah.
Silicon Valley, which is one of the funniest shows of the last 10 years. He's fantastic in that. The Goldbergs, the Mindy Projects.
Perfect movies of all time, Sneakers.
Yeah, and the other big one for me that got him onto the list is Heroes. I was a massive Heroes fan.
Oh,
yes, it fell to shit. But those first... Yeah,
I'd argue with that. Just because the last season isn't as good, it's still good.
The first couple of seasons were some of the strongest thing that's ever been televised.
Yeah, fucking love Heroes.
But, I mean, Stephen Tobler, he has one of those faces. You know, if you look at a picture of him, you go, oh, what do I know him from? And everyone will tell you a different thing. I think most people will go to Ned from Groundhog Day, But yeah. That's just because that movie is so classic and old, it's burned into our face.
Probably something we're going to say about a number of people, certainly off my list, and I'm assuming yours as well, is he doesn't just do those zany kind of geeky, nerdy, weird Ned Ryerson, and as you say, Heroes and other things. He's done dramatic stuff, and he can do dramatic stuff, and he can do dramatic stuff and not kind of, why is the weird goofy guy doing dramatic stuff?
Yes.
He sinks into those roles as well.
Yep, 100%. All right, over to you for your number 10, mate.
All right, my number 10 is absolutely one of those guys that everyone goes, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
It's an actor by the name of William Fichtner.
Ah, yes, yes. He was an honorable mention for me. He was very close to being on my list. Yeah.
And again, someone that can do the most dramatic of dramatic. You look at things like Heat, Black Hawk Down, things like that. But he's also done, I mean, my favorite role of his is, and probably my favorite character in a movie full of great characters is in, I think it's Doug Liman was the director of a film called Go.
Oh, yeah. Love Go. Katie Holmes.
Where
life starts at 3 a.m.
the most uncomfortable Amway salesman.
Yes.
Ever.
Yeah.
But he's also, I mean, people would know, you know, Armageddon, Contacts, Christ, Pearl Harbor. He's in a lot of big stuff, always kind of one of the secondary characters, which is weird because he's a, you know, he's a, getting on it, you know, he's middle-aged now, but he's always been a good-looking bloke and just weirdly always kind of been one of those people off to the side. But he's always great. He's in fucking everything.
He really is,
And, yeah.
Nice. No, excellent call. Yes, he was an honorable mention for me. My number 9 is someone who I feel like could have had a bigger career. I don't know that she ever could have been a leading lady. I mean, no, she definitely couldn't have been a leading lady. But there was a time period in the 90s when she was in a lot of stuff. And if she had wanted to take on bigger roles, I think she could have. But she's an actress who I think pretty clearly made the choice to stay a character actress. And I'm talking about Clea DuVall.
Oh. Yeah.
Big fan of Clea DuVall. And
now a budding director.
That's right. That's right. Still acting,
though. Big fan of that Christmas movie.
Quite recently, she was in Handmaid's Tale, and she's been fantastic in that. Veep, Better Call Saul, again, Heroes, I think. but obviously, I mostly remember her from The Faculty. Yes, where she is just fantastic. And there was a string in the 90s where she, you know, if you needed like an awkward lesbian teenage high schooler, you got Clea DuVall because nobody did it better. And I love her. I think she's fantastic. So, yep, that's my number 9.
Yep, very, very good call. Number 9, I am going with probably one of the better known people on my list, still, although there's certainly some big names. I'm going Helena Bonham Carter.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I did not consider her. I it's funny. I actually watched her just last night. I got my yearly urge. Shout out to Sean Carney from Skeddy Boys. Got my yearly urge to rewatch Merlin.
You watched Merlin. The Tim Burton movie?
No, Burton. Hell no. Got my yearly urge to rewatch Merlin. Fantastic miniseries with Sam Neill where she plays Morgan Le Fay. I can definitely see how you would class her as a character actor. Yeah.
But she's very rarely the lead. The closest you'd get is some of the Burton stuff where, like Sweeney Todd, she's kind of like the female lead, but still nowhere near.
Yeah, I guess my bigger issue with her is that she's always the same, I think is my issue. Particularly when you look at the Burton years. I think she has become Burton's puppet to such an extent that I just, I don't know. I'd love to see her branch out.
Marla Singer in Fight Club.
Yeah.
Bellatrix Lestrange in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But you go back further and, I mean,
yes, if you go back further, for sure.
Like Room with a View and Howard's End and
definitely.
That sort of stuff. And then obviously, like Johnny Depp, a big chunk of her career was doing varied, weird, zany Red Queen, etc. in Burton films. But then she'll, you know, be the queen in The King's Speech.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a million miles from
true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
I think she's enormously talented. And like everyone probably on both of our lists, never a shred of vanity in anything they do. They're always game to do anything and everything, which I think is one of the big hallmarks of a good character actor.
Yep. Nice. All right. My number eight, again, is probably, I think for most people, but again, maybe this is just me. I feel like for most people, he'd be a fairly recognizable name. I'm not sure if he's going to make your list. I'm talking about Gary Cole.
Oh, for a second, I was like, Gary Coleman. It's like, what? What are you talking about, Willis? Yeah, of course. American Gothic.
Yes,
or Office Space.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to go ahead and come on in on Monday. I love Gary Cole. I think he's fantastic. I mean, yes, obviously, I always go to Office Space. But you know, Mike Brady in the Brady Bunch movie. I think a lot of people my generation will remember that. Yep.
I completely forgot that.
1 hour photo, great Robin Williams film. I love that movie. I think he's great in that. It's definitely underrated. He's done a string of comedies, you know, Dodgeball, Talladega Nights, Pineapple Express. I just think he's absolutely fantastic. Like you say, his big thing at the moment is American Gothic. He also, I don't know if you remember, he had a run as the vice president in the West Wing.
I for some reason, bowed out on the West Wing, not through any fault of the show. I just kind of drifted off and never got back to it.
Yeah, right. Gary Cole is just one of those people who I see his face and I'm just instantly charmed. And yet somehow he can also play a really good sleazy dick. Like, he seems very likable, and at the same time, I feel like he's got great range in that way. Even though it's very easy to look at his performances and think that he's not doing a lot because he is quite often playing it the same way, I think it's the nuances that he puts in where he has a lot of range. So yeah, big fan of Gary Cole. That's my number eight.
Nice. All righty. Next name I'm throwing out is a little fellow by the name of Toby Jones.
Toby Jones. Not on my list.
Yet another one that is in so many things that everyone just goes, oh, yeah, that dude.
I do have another Jones on my list. I'm wondering if you do also.
Ooh. I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good then.
Toby Jones is like a couple of others on my list. It's just equally at home being creepy as fuck. I don't know if you've seen Strickland's Barbarian Sound Studio.
No.
Horror film where he's a sound effects guy and he's over in Italy, I think, or Germany, in Europe, adding the sound effects and folly to a giallo horror film.
Yeah, right.
And just starts to, start to unwind. Yeah, really good in those sort of creepy things. And he was one of the best guest stars in the entire run of New Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Where he was the dream lord. But then he'll do off-the-wall stuff like Hunger Games, where he's completely over the top and chewing the scenery.
Yeah.
It was a great TV. Did you watch Wayward Pines?
No, I did hear good things.
TV though. Series had Matt Dillon starring from memory, but he was like the second lead sort of in that.
Yeah.
Morgan, the one of my underrated horror films from the other week, Atomic Blonde, just in so many things and just always amazing, whether he's being funny, being scary, being serious, like in Tetris recently. Always great.
Yeah, nice. All right, my number seven is a lady who, when you Google best character actors, she comes up quite towards the top of just about every list. I don't know if she'll make your list as well. I'm sure there'll be plenty of people telling me that she's low.
I've got three different people in mind as to who it could be. This is be interesting.
Does her name have alliteration in it?
One of those three does.
Okay. Is it Margot Martindale?
That's who it was. Yeah. That was her. Yeah.
Yeah. So is she on your list as well?
No, I I ruled her out when we had the caveats in place, obviously.
Yeah, okay.
Because one of the rules was literally named after her.
Yes.
And then I forgot to put her back in. But, yeah, justifiable inclusion for sure.
Yeah, I mean, she's fantastic. Some people would say that I have her low, but I like the people up the top of my list better.
It definitely comes into but play.
She is just one of those actresses where you see her face and you will struggle for a little bit to think, what do I know her from? Because so many things. I mean, most recently, she was just fantastic in Cocaine Bear. She was a lot of fun in that. She has done so many things, and she can do so many things. I mean, she can do a schlocky, you know, over-the-top campy role like Cocaine Bear. Then she can do Million Dollar Baby. Like, she can do a comedy like Walk Hard, and she can do Lorenzo's Oil and The Rocketeer and The Firm. Like, she's done so many roles across both TV and film, but predominantly film, which I think is honestly pretty amazing. Like, when you look at her career trajectory, a lot of the actors on my list are about 50-50 between TV and film. And some of them even may have started in film, but then kind of went not back to because TV's had such a rise. But she just seems to do a lot of film work. And I don't think she's ever begging for work. She is fantastic.
Just, I know you haven't got to it yet, but she's not got a big part, but she's kind of pivotal in Mrs. Davis, that kind of zany miniseries that was on recently about the AI taking over the world or whatever.
Yeah, okay.
The biggest testament to Margot Martindale for me is that when I think back to the TV show Justified, she's one of the main people. I mean, aside from obviously Oliphant and Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
She's, to me, looms large over that whole thing. I just looked at IMDb. She's only in 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And that thing went for years.
I was just about to say the same thing. It's the same for me with Dexter. She has I just looked it up. It's only 5 episodes that she did of Dexter. She plays like the person who gives out the files to the cops. And she's got a great run there. And I think of her all the time and associated with that show. Anyone who's seen it, like if I hear Key Lime Pie, I hear it in her voice because of that performance. She's just so fantastic. All right, you're number 7.
I'm going to be interested to see if you have either of the other women that I was thinking of that could easily be described exactly the same way.
Okay.
All righty. Speaking of fantastic actresses, my number 7 is Allison Janney.
Yes, I did consider her. I love Allison Janney. She's fantastic. She's an honorable mention for me. I kind of felt like these days she's... Because you would have originally ruled her out with the caveats for winning an Oscar, would you not? Did she win an Oscar recently?
I know she's been up for, obviously, Emmys and things. I don't recall her winning an Oscar.
Best Supporting Actress in 2018.
Was it I, Tonya?
Yeah, I, Tonya, yeah.
Yeah. But you said no caveats, so fuck it.
I did. And I would definitely allow it. I think she's fantastic. I fell in love with her, of course, as the most of the world did in The West Wing. But she's fantastic in everything she does.
Oh, I didn't. I fell in love with her in 10 Things I Hate About You because I'm
basic. Oh, man, yeah.
Cat.
Yeah.
Turgid.
Yeah, she's great.
I mean, talk about someone. I mean, just in those two roles alone that can do... comedy and complete drama. I mean, I, Tonya, fuck. The movie itself didn't really resonate for me, but she's amazing in The Help. And then going all the way back to like Juno, Masters of Sex, I haven't got to, but...
She's great in Masters of Sex, yeah. She's very good in that, yep.
But, I mean, the other thing I like is she's someone that came to acting fairly late in, or certainly just to... screen and film acting. Maybe she did a heap on stage, but she would have been well into her late 30s for the first time anyone really saw her in anything.
Yeah.
And managed to, you know, have an incredible career without needing to build off a, you know, attractive young phase.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fantastic. That's an excellent call. She probably should have cracked my list, to be honest, but she is an honorable mention. Speaking of Oscar winners, my number 6 is someone that would have been gone with that caveat as well, because it's Tilda Swinton.
Ah, yeah, good call.
I think that she still counts 100%. I think,
fuck, and I should have thought of her.
She's one of those people I was talking about earlier when I was talking about someone like Oldman, who I think just becomes a role. You look at her play that fucking 90-year-old man in the modern Suspiria remake.
Yeah,
she is just next level good in everything that she does. And
what's the first thing you remember seeing her in, and kind of remembering her name?
Man,
because I know exactly what it is for me.
Yeah, you remember? Hang on.
Oh yeah, Orlando.
No,
100%. Orlando, where she plays. I haven't seen the film since then, but she plays, I think it's a young man.
Yeah, right.
Who? Oh God, I'm casting my mind back now. I think he lives more than a natural lifespan and lives through several ages or something.
Yeah.
But I remember being astonished when I learned that it was an actress playing this.
Yeah.
Male part, because it was around the time of fucking Tootsie or something, and it was a very rare thing to happen. And I remember thinking, "Oh wow, this weird sort of androgynous, thespian of indeterminate gender is very talented." There's not going to be that many roles that this person's going to suit.
Yeah, for me, it would have been Adaptation. Would have been the first thing that I think I saw her in. You know, looking at even on her Wikipedia, you have to click on a different page for her filmography because there's too many to go on her main page. But she's just fantastic in everything. Burn After Reading, Chronicles of Narnia series where she plays the White Witch.
Yep.
Which I think those movies are underrated. Obviously, she's collaborated with Wes Anderson plenty of times. We need to talk about Kevin, obviously. You know, even MCU, Doctor Strange. Like, you know, I just think that she is so good at what she does. And she is an actor's actor. Like,
And just because she's not just weird and made up and gender bending roles, and
which
things.
She does a lot of, because but she you, also does plenty of straightforward.
Think back to like The Beach, sexy as hell in The Beach, Shag and Leonardo DiCaprio,
3,000 Years of Longing,
be at least 30, only person 30 years or older who's ever shagged Leonardo DiCaprio,
3,000 Years of Longing from only a couple of years ago,
and
which
Idris
I had in my top 10.
Right.
Yeah, I just think that she is.
I was a bit mixed on it.
Yeah, I know, most people were. But yeah, so there you go. That's my number six, Tilda Swinton. So over to you, mate.
Would have made my list if I'd remembered to put back the people that I took out when I caveated them. Alrighty, number six. Little fella by the name of Paul Dano.
Oh, I love and adore Paul Dano. That is
actually youngest on my list by our big stretch.
I mean, almost everyone else. I never even considered him, but I kind of wish now that I had, because I love him. He's fantastic. That's a great call.
And he's almost never the lead.
No, I mean, the first thing I remember him from would have to be Little Miss Sunshine, would be the first thing I remember him from. He's just fantastic. Man, that's a great call.
I mean, most recently, obviously, the Scarecrow in The Batman, where he was fantastic. The Daniels, who made that other film that you like more than me, but Swiss Army Man, where it's basically just him and an immobile Radcliffe.
Who just farts.
I mean, that movie's not perfect, but the acting in it is fucking outstanding. He's just such a talented guy. And I think possibly through just the choices he makes, and he's always picking interesting things, but possibly also he's one of the came up at a time where there was a fair whack of young actors coming up, a lot of whom were very, very good looking.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit more average. And so I think has had to kind of rely on talent and doing quirky roles, but I think it's worked in his favor because he's got a pretty impressive filmography behind him.
Yeah. No, that's an excellent call. Oh man, I didn't even consider him, and I really wish I had. All right. Well, my number five is a man who I don't think will be on your list, but Richard Kind.
Not on my list, but good call.
Yep. He should have been the Penguin in the Batman instead of them just literally
making up Farrell to look like
Richard Kind. He literally looks like Richard Kind in that film. It's ridiculous. Just fucking hire Richard Kind. He's right there and he's fantastic. Richard Kind is another one of those faces that the reason he's so high on my list is that he just seems so affable and so likable. So many of his roles are played that way as well. He often plays kind of a neurotic but friendly guy. You know, I always think of him from Scrubs. He has a recurring role as a patient on that show and he's fantastic. Obviously Spin City.
Oh, is he like hypochondriac guy?
Yes. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Obviously, Spin City is what a lot of people would remember him from. Curb Your Enthusiasm. But not just comedies. Serious Man, Argo, Suburbicon, Tick, Tick, Boom, even recently Beau is Afraid. He's had so many roles. He's not a chameleon. His face definitely stands out. But
I can't think of what it would have been off the top of my head. But I know I've seen him in at least one or two things where he's been an absolute
Oh, yes.
Like he's been... if not an arsehole,
yes,
actually a bad guy or an evil guy. I'm sure I've seen things like that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. He's just, I really, really love Richard Kind. First thing I would have seen him in would have been Stargate, I think, when I was a kid. And yeah, so big fan. That's my number five.
Mad About You is, he'll always be Mad About You to me. But he's another one of these guys. He's just in so much stuff. So,
I mean, as is everyone on this list, and I think as we get higher, there's going to be even more of those. Although, I got to say, surprisingly, my number four has probably been in the least things on my list. But over to you for your number five.
Yeah, into the top half. All right. The first of two from the David Lynch stable of perennial actors. My number five is Brad Dourif.
Ah, oh, yeah, Chucky himself.
Chucky himself. And not sadly, it's a great thing to have in your CV, but kind of overshadows what has been a very, very long career.
Yeah.
Doesn't do a lot of comedy. I mean, Chucky's probably the closest thing to comedy, but he's been in so many things. I mean, Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings trilogy, Deadwood, great TV show. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, pretty much every David Lynch film.
Yeah, yeah.
especially Dune, where he's, as Peter DeVries, he's just one of the standouts in that.
Yeah.
And the only kind of starring thing that I'm aware of is a great little film called Wise Blood, where he's in the South of America, sort of starts up a Baptist sort of splinter.
Yeah, nice. Sect. Yeah.
And had a great bunch of samples that Ministry used in some songs. But I've always been a huge fan of his. Obviously being a big David Lynch fan.
Yeah.
He's just one of those guys. And his daughter's doing good stuff now too. So that's
nice. All right. My number four is a man. There were three on my list that I took a good look at and I thought they weren't similar. One, I don't know if these guys will make your list, so I'll stay away from names. One was mostly known for, what is the word? Motion capture acting. So I cut him. One was mostly known for voice acting, so I cut him. This guy, Doug Jones, is who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And has mostly become known as the Monster Man. You know, he was the amphibian creature in the Shape of Water. He was fucking hand monster in Pan's Labyrinth.
Basically, any skinny monster in anything.
Yeah.
It's Doug Jones.
Yeah, he's the bye-bye man.
You need New Mutants.
Yeah.
That'll get you to watch New Mutants.
You need a lanky, skinny monster, googly-eyed freak. he's basically Stephen Merchant, but scary. And I just think he's fantastic. He's he was in Hellboy.
I was going to say Hellboy, so one of his big iconic roles.
Yep. Cabin of Dr. Caligari. He played an alien in Stuck on You, which is another movie that I actually quite like.
In the new one of the new Star Trek series, I think, as one of the alien crew members, like as one of the core cast members.
Yeah, right.
I can't remember which
one. Yeah. One of his earliest roles was in Batman Returns, where he played a character literally titled as Thin Clown. So But, you know, any 90s kids out there will remember him as Billy Butcherson from Hocus Pocus as well. Like, he's had quite a wide career, and although he's mostly known as the monster guy now, he's just done so many things. I really, really love Doug Jones's work.
I'm just out of interest, because I was trying to, I knew I'd seen him in things without makeup, and I was trying to see if I could find one in IMDb. And I just happened to notice that, oh, I didn't remember him in Crimson Peak because he plays Edith's mother, Lady Sharp.
Yeah, there you go. He was also fantastic. In Tank Girl, a movie that you and I have both spoken about enjoying. So,
oh, alongside Ice-T, yeah. Playing a kangaroo.
All right, over to your number four.
All righty, number four. Oh, I love this guy. The Tooch, Stanley Tucci.
Ah, yeah, okay, good call. Yep, not on my list, but very good call.
Love him. Love him. He has been some of the most sympathetic, lovable characters in anything I've ever seen, yeah. And he's been some of the slimiest assholes, yeah, I've ever seen.
You know, I saw him in person once. He was sitting not far from us at a premiere of the New York Ballet. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I would have been embarrassing myself. You probably get this all the time. But I mean, iconic. It's so memorable in Devil's Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Lovely Bones, alongside my aforementioned Toby Jones, chewing up the scenery in Hunger Games as the other commentator.
Yeah.
Easy A.
Yes.
Also mentioned previously. Yeah. And I don't know if you saw Big Night, the film he wrote and directed.
No.
It's him, Allison Janney, who's also been mentioned previously.
Yeah.
Another well-known character actor who I won't mention yet, just in case he pops up on a list. But that's a good film to seek out if you haven't seen it. Nice. I love Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, nice. Good call. All right, my number three. We're into the top three now. I only have one male left on my list, actually.
All of mine are dudes.
Right. Well,
Fest, the top of my list.
My number three, and I don't know if you're an Arrested Development fan, Dave, but all I need to say to you is say goodbye to these, because I'm talking about Judy Greer, who I fucking love. She's adorable.
One of
She's
the three
fantastic.
That I was thinking you may have been talking about when you were talking about Margot Martindale.
Right. I love Judy Greer so much, and she's had such a varied career that, you know, she recently released an autobiography, which I think from memory is titled something like What Do I Know You From? Or something like that, because she's just been in so many things. Obviously, she's just kind of made that step up to lead with the Halloween trilogy. what do you think of her most from? Because, you know, it's funny. I still think of her most, apart from Arrested Development. It's funny, it came up just before. Adaptation, where she plays the waitress that he wants to bang.
Oh, wow. I'm so embarrassing compared to you. The thing I most remember her for is the friend in... what's the one where Affleck's old missus...
Suddenly 30, where Jennifer Garner?
Yes.
But yes, which I think in the States is called 13 Going on 30, and they renamed it here. Yeah, I love her in that. She's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the weird thing is a lot of her stuff, she's kind of through costume, makeup, whatever, and character, she's made to look kind of nerdier and more ungainly than she is.
Yeah, definitely.
When she's quite a attractive woman.
Yeah,
and
she
quite
is.
Elegant when she's in the right thing.
Yes, yes.
But she's kind
it's
of
interesting.
Never I've, presented that way.
I know, because same thing. I feel like she is an actress who surely could have made that leap to lead actress in her younger years, but I don't know. You're right. She was always made up. You know, she was like the fucking Janie from Not Another Teen Movie. She always had glasses and paint on her overalls. Like,
well, there's one actress that almost made my list. Is the other actress on your list have a sibling who's also an actor?
Not that I know of.
Okay, so I almost had Joan Cusack.
Oh yeah, I considered her. She's an honorable mention for me. I love Joan Cusack.
Almost everything she's in is made to be as hideous and ungainly and nerdy as possible, but she's quite a beautiful woman in real life. It's just,
yeah,
we all like Judy Greer just always made the nerdy best friend or the geeky assistant or something.
Yeah, yeah, she's an honourable mention for me. Yeah, big fan of Joan Cusack. All right, over to your number three.
I can't believe we've got no more crossovers, especially this next one. Who do you think of when I say, how you say, yippee-ki-yay?
Oh, man, Alan Rickman?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even consider him. I really should have. I guess he would count as a character actor. He's fantastic. That's a great call. Fuck.
Not often the lead, but yeah. I mean, obviously, when your first role is Hans Gruber, you're set up for a good career.
Was that his first role?
That was his first.
Well, so there you go. That's another actor who came to it quite late.
Sure. Yeah. Before that, he was British theatre and other stuff. And I think one of my all-time favourite films, Truly Madly Deeply, I think he did the same year as Die Hard, maybe, where he's actually a romantic lead. But almost everything else, like Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Galaxy Quest, where he's kind of both the Spock parody but also wearing ridiculous alien plastic headgear.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, Severus Snape. I mean, how many iconic characters do you want one guy to play?
Yeah. No, that is such a great call.
Phenomenal guy. Oh, man. Such a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I wish that I... Oh, man. I didn't even think of him. Fuck.
I think we need to put this up for the vote now because I think I'll win on my Rickman alone.
I think you will. I think you will win. Because, my top two, I mean, obviously we have no more crossovers, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But my number two is another actress who is just astoundingly wonderful. She's been in a huge range of things. It's Anne Dowd.
The third one that I was thinking of when you were talking about Martindale. Obviously, again, one of the caveat rules was the Martindale Dowd route.
Yes, because, Anne Dowd is so good. I mean, most recently, I can't picture her and not just be scared because mostly these days it's Handmaid's Tale for me and she is just fucking phenomenal in that series. But
I need to watch the – I only started that. I never really got – into it, and I don't know why.
It's so good. Oh, and fucking Sydney Sweeney's best performance is in that show as well. She's amazing.
Yeah, no, you mentioned.
Garden State was probably the first time that I remember seeing Anne Dowd. Manchurian Candidate.
Only decent thing about Exorcist Believer.
yes, Exorcist Believer. Flags of Our Fathers. Marley and Me. She's been in so many things, and she's just... fantastic. Hereditary. The Leftovers, obviously. Yeah, and she's, she was a regular in that. She's just so good. She's been in an episode of The X-Files. Like, she is just phenomenal, and she really is one of those faces, again, where I think, like Margot Martindale, you see her, and most people will have a different pull for where they recognize her from. But big fan. All right, you're number two then.
My number two, back to another David Lynch stalwart, Harry Dean Stanton.
Okay, yep.
For me, most recognizable for something where he's the star, Paris, Texas, because it's one of my favorite films.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He is one of the perennial kind of secondary quirky sidekick, whatever characters, whether it's in Alien, whether it's in Repo Man, but varied because he was the dad in Pretty in Pink, isn't he?
Yes,
he's Molly Ringwald's dad.
Yeah, and that's a great movie.
Seven Psychopaths. Yep. Martin McDonagh, who we love on this show. God, he's just always so. Lost in whatever character he's playing.
Yeah.
He's such an iconic, recognizable looking guy. His voice is so recognizable.
Yes.
But yet in everything that I see him in, I forget it's him. He's just whatever character it is, which I think, that's the ultimate sign of a good actor.
Yeah, for sure.
Plus he's been in about 10,000 things.
Yeah. I think I know what your number one is then.
I've mentioned him several times before as one of my favorite character actors. So if you recall that, then you know who it is. He's probably the least well-known person on my list, I would say.
Oh, maybe it's
not the least recognizable.
Maybe it's not who I was thinking of then.
Someone knows.
Yeah, all right.
I can't think who yours is going to be because you've gone through the three big female ones that I...
Well, yeah. my number one is a dude. My number one is a dude. And he is, for me, again, he's just someone that I love. And he's done so many roles that I love. And I think he's extremely versatile. And I'm talking about Stephen Root.
Oh, yeah, of course. Honorable mention.
Yeah. Who, of course, you know.
Speaking of Office Space.
I was going to say, most people would go to Office Space where he's Milton. He's fantastic in that. He had a really fantastic dramatic run in True Blood, which he was just amazing in. You know, obviously lots of Coen Brothers films, No Country for Old Men, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Ballad of Buster Scruggs, pretty much all of their films. Dodgeball, Idiocracy, which is a great film, Trumbo, Get Out. He's so good in Get Out. Yeah. He has just done...
News Radio is where I would go to.
Yeah, News Radio. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. He just like has crossed so many different streams. I don't think there's a genre he hasn't done. I don't think there's a, you know, a character affliction he hasn't played. He was the first one I thought of when we said character actors, and he went straight to the top of my list and stayed there. Massive, massive fan of Stephen Root. So, yep, there you go. Good. Over to you for your number one.
Can't argue with that. My number one is Kevin Durand, who I'm sure I've mentioned in the past is, I think, just the greatest character actor of all time, not least because he's a fucking tall, ripped, handsome bloke who has pretty much never played a character that looks like him. He's played the Blob in X-Men Origins Wolverine, where he was the size of a house. He's played balding with glasses in Swamp Thing. He's played... I mean, the closest he's come to probably just looking like himself is playing Martin Keeney in Lost.
Yeah.
Where he was just kind of a normal-looking dude. But he is the ultimate, oh, that dude, he's in everything.
Yeah.
Even more than Bill Fichtner.
Yeah.
Little John to Rusty Crowe's Robin Hood.
Yeah.
He was in Noah. Actually, that was Crowe again, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
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 But he just crops up in everything. He did a stint on Vikings, which is a great TV show. Arty stuff like Cosmopolis.
Yeah.
Fruitvale Station, which I haven't seen yet.
Great film. It's so good.
Very, very different to the more genre-y things like The Strain and stuff like that. 310 to Yuma, which I rewatched only recently.
Yeah.
Fucking great film.
Yeah, it is.
And very shortly, I mean, you'll see it before me because spoilers and peek behind the curtain, I'm speaking to you from the past. I'm actually on a beach in Thailand at the moment. Yeah. But Billy's probably about to walk into the cinema to see Abigail.
Yeah.
Which will have Kevin Durand alongside.
I was going to say, that's a nice little segue because that's what we're getting to next week, my friend. Next week, all going to plan, we'll be doing a double feature of Abigail and Fall Guy.
Yeah, so, and I'll probably be watching on a very small screen on the back of someone's seat.
I was worried about how this topic was going to go. I was really stressed, but I think they're two really strong lists there, and I can't believe. Mm. Did we have a single crossover?
No, I really thought we would. I thought Alison Janney, if no one else, would be a crossover.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Just because... She's been in so many things that I know you love a lot.
Well, I've got a couple of honorable mentions. The only ones that haven't already been thrown out are Steve Buscemi, I cut off because I think he's I wonder whether he's transcended
Malkovich. Well, I also think he's he doesn't do as varied stuff as he used to.
Yes,
I think the last 20 years, he's kind of always just been Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And then the two that I kind of mentioned earlier, I'm kind of surprised that one of them isn't on your list. Andy Serkis, I definitely considered and had in contention. But like I said, I kind of dropped him out for
Doug
Jones.
He's kind of his own industry, really.
Yeah. But he does character almost better than anyone, like, just about.
When I see him in live action stuff, he's really good. Like, What's the one where Josh Hartnett needs to stop having sex and wanking for 40 days, 40 nights or something
right,
like that?
Okay, okay.
Where he plays, isn't he, I'm sure he's in that. Or maybe... maybe I'm thinking of something else. I don't know. But I've seen him do the odd live action thing, and he's very good.
Yeah. And the only other one I had was Alan Tudyk, Wash from Firefly.
Oh, fuck.
Who I think is fantastic. Shit. But again, I think these days, like I said, he's mostly known for voiceover work, which is why I cut him. But he's fantastic.
He had a recent TV show called Resident Alien.
He did, yeah,
which
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
But he's another one who's done.
Oh, he's done more things.
Straight-laced, likable characters like Firefly. He's done psychopathic killers in Dollhouse. He's done comedy. Yeah. Oh, fuck. Good call.
Yeah.
I had a bunch of old Peter Lorre and that sort of stuff, but I'll leave those out. The one that I toyed with for a long time was Colin Farrell.
Yeah. Okay.
Because
interesting.
He did the reverse. He started out the kind of matinee idol. Handsome leading man,
yeah.
But halfway through his career, he's almost, with a few exceptions, but he's almost entirely secondary character actors now.
Yeah,
like you look at things like Gentleman, where he's got the dodgy comb over and he's the paunchy, you know, dirty little Brit. You've got Penguin, obviously. Even things like Banshees of Inisherin, he's hardly a leading man. But yeah, ultimately, I thought he's had a lot of kind of tilts at the star podium, so he didn't quite fit the bill as much as the others, I thought.
Yeah,
but man, this was a massive pool to draw from without the rules. I've got something like 50 on my short list that I was sort of willowing, going through and going, oh, fucking hell, you know, Michael Shannon, David Patrick Kelly, so on. Far out.
Yeah. Well, thank you everyone for joining us here at We Watch the Thing. As mentioned, next week we'll be getting to Abigail and Fall Guy. Hopefully at least one of those will be good.
Fingers crossed they're both good.
Hopefully.
We're due for two good films in 1 week.
And if you want to get in touch with us, you can do that at pottymouthradio.com. Reach us at pottymouthradio@gmail.com. Check out all the rest of the shows on the network. Hunt for the Perfect Album. The one where we watched coming very soon is Time to Die, our Dungeons and Dragons podcast. And of course, new addition to the network, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs with Sam Hurley as well. So check that out. That's
very
it from
cool.
us. We'll catch you next week.
Goodbye.